There was one prayer request I did not mention. If it's not written down on my piece of paper, it's easy for me to forget things. Mr. N.T. Idlett had to go to the hospital this week. He stayed for a few days in the hospital, and he is at Winslow's or Elizabeth City Rehab now. So you'd be praying for Miss Diane and Mr. N.T. The last report I got from Miss Diane, they're still not sure exactly what's going on, and there to help rehab and help get some strength back, and also to help just with taking care of him for a little while. So you'd be praying for him. Plan on checking on them earlier this week, but I know that they wouldn't be encouraged with a call or a visit, so I encourage you to do that. Okay, Psalms chapter 37. Our theme for this year is delight in the Lord, and tonight and this morning and also this afternoon we're going to talk a little bit about delighting in something. But this morning we're going to look at delighting in His directions. Delighting in His directions. Last week we learned about delighting in His presence, and we talked about how some people look at, yeah, God's there, God sees everything, and they use that as a way to make sure they don't do wrong. They use that and say, okay, I can't be bad because God's going to see it, and that's a good way to be able to keep yourself doing what's right, but it's not the best way. And there's a difference between, as a Christian, I know people choose between what's good and what's bad. I think as a Christian, we should choose between what's good and what's best. And the best way for our Christian life is to learn how to delight in the things of God, to learn how to take pleasure in the things of God. David, over and over in Psalms 119, talks about, I delight in thy statutes, I delight in thy commandments, I delight in this. He's saying, I delight in the fact that God tells me what to do. He says, I see the commandments and I delight in those, and that's what I want to do. And that's where the verse we're going to look at for the most part today is found in Psalms 37, verse 23. The Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And so here's the thought is, do we delight in God's directions? Do we delight in the way that God has things to do? I know there's certain things in the Bible that many times people do not delight in. They don't take pleasure in forgiving others. They don't take pleasure in telling people about the Word of God or telling people about Jesus. They don't take pleasure maybe in loving their wives or submitting to their husbands or the children obeying their parents. But what the Bible is saying here, David did in Psalms 119, is that he embraced those things. And I'm wondering, do we embrace in the plans that God has for our lives? Do we embrace the biblical principles? Instead of begrudging and saying, okay, I know I got to be faithful at church, we should learn to find pleasure in the fact that God says, hey, I want you to be faithful. I don't want you to forsake the assembly of believers. I want you to do what you're supposed to do and delight in the fact that God tells us to do those things. Oftentimes what we have allowed our Christian lives to boil down is it's a life of drudgery. It's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be a life of joy. It's supposed to be a life of peace. It's supposed to be a life of loving one another and loving the brethren. And so many times Christians, people's lives have missed the opportunity of serving and missed the opportunity of being a witness and being an encouragement to others just because they've learned not to just delight in things. Instead, they just kind of grudgingly go along, and their face shows it. Their attitude shows it. Their personalities show it. And so as what we've been looking at, first week of the year, we looked at delight, how God delights in obedience, and how God, and we talked about Saul, and we looked at how Saul said he obeyed God, but God said he didn't obey. And whether or not we're truly doing things the way God wants them done or the way we think is the right thing to do, because sometimes they're completely different. Say, no, no, no. But in the Bible, it talks about how people would offer sacrifice, and God says, I hate those sacrifices because they were done with the wrong heart. Doing the things of the Lord is not just fulfilling the commandments. It's finding pleasure in them. It's delighting in them and delighting in His steps and delighting in His direction. That's what the Bible says. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And that next phrase, I studied out a little bit this week. That next phrase, and he delighteth in his way. Now, there's two different ways of looking at that. Who is the he? Is the he the steps of the good man? Is it the good man? And he delighteth in God's way? Or is it the he talking about the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord? Is it talking about the Lord delighting in the ways of the good man? And as you look at it, it can be applied both ways, because a good man and is allowing God to order his steps, he should find delight and he should find hope and he should find help in following God. But also, the Bible here is saying, as through the studying and the look at, it's referring to the fact that God delights in the way of the good man. God delights in an individual. I remember the first time I was brought to this thought by God or through preaching or through listening or whatever it was, that it talked about how we can please the Lord. And I know that's what we're supposed to do. But I remember the first time it came upon my heart that I can actually please God. It's found in Hebrews chapter number 11. It talks about in verse number 6, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So if we do have faith, guess what we can do? We can actually please God. And I tell you, the God that I love and the God that's done so much for me, the God I want to worship, the God I want to sing praise to, the God I want to offer my life to, I want him to be pleased with me. I want to live a life that God looks at and God delights in. And that's what it's saying here. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. That God can delight in your ways if you allow him to order your steps, if you allow him to direct you and lead you and guide you. And it's so important that we understand this, that God gives us things in his word, and God gives us commandments, and God says, here's the direction I want you to go. Here's the life I want you to live. Here is something I desire for you, because I want to find pleasure in you, because I want to find pleasure in your ways. Yes, we're supposed to delight in the Lord, and it's kind of interesting. In verse number 4, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And then it comes back, and he says, if you do that, I can delight in your ways. Does God delight in your ways? Now, don't get me wrong, the message at the beginning and before I studied was the idea that we should delight and find pleasure in God's ways. We should find pleasure when God tells us we should do this and do that. Why is that? Because we enjoy doing it? Now, this afternoon, we're going to talk a little bit about reconciliation and how to make things right between individuals that are inside a church or inside of a family. Really, nobody likes to do that. It's confrontational. It's hard sometimes. Lots of times people don't like to forgive somebody. It's much easier just to hold a grudge, or it's much easier just to try to overlook it and not deal with it. But that's not the Bible way of doing things. And there's so many things in the Word of God, such as going out, and he tells us to go into all the world and read and preach the gospel and reach people. We don't like doing that because of the fear that we have. We don't like doing that because of worried about what someone else might say, and the devil hurts us and the devil attacks us to try to stop us from that. You know, how come we don't? And when he says, you know, to meditate in the law of the Lord day and night, and when the Bible talks about learning the Word of God and memorizing the Word of God and studying the Word of God, you know, how come we don't do those things? Not only do we sometimes fall short of doing those, but sometimes when we do them, we don't delight in it. We don't find joy in it. And the next step in our Christian lives, in many of our lives, would be to learn how to delight in the presence of God, like we talked about last week. Not just use it as a way to stay straight, not just use it as a way to stay focused, but instead delight in the fact that God sees everything we do and that God is in control. We talked about the reality of his presence. We talked about the reassurance of his presence because God's there. He can take care of it. We talked about rejoicing in his presence because we can understand that God sees all and knows all. And this morning is similar in a message. Do you delight in his ways? Do you delight in the guidance that God's given you? Because the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And then it goes on and says, and he delighteth in his ways. Keep on going to verse number 24. Though you fall. You ever fall before? And I'm not talking about physically. I've fallen physically a few times in my life. It's talking about spiritually here. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. And it says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So God, there is a divine direction that's given here. And then there is a divine delight that is found in there. But there is also a divine support that's found here too. God is willing to lift you up and hold you up. Even when you fall, even when you get off the good steps, God doesn't throw you away and try to find someone else. If we will learn to allow him once again to order your steps, if we will allow him once again to order your guidelines and how you're going to live your life, God can find pleasure and take pleasure in that. So the thought here today is delighting in his directions. And we got 3 points. We always, not always, but most times we had 3 points. The first one, and we're going to look here in Proverbs chapter 3. It's up on the board there, but if you'd like to turn in your Bible there in Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to spend a few minutes there. Proverbs chapter number 3, verses 5 through 7. The first point is the preeminence of God's direction. The preeminence of God's direction. They said preeminence, what does that mean? That means it's greater than anything else. It's higher than anyone else's. It's superior. God can give you better directions than anybody else. You ever had two different people tell you directions? They say, oh, no, you need to go this way, you need to go that way. You know, God gives you superior directions. He gives you superior instruction. The Bible says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What God is saying there, he says, I have the opportunity and the ability to give you the right directions, the right guidelines of how you should structure your life. The steps of a good man, they're ordered by the Lord. If you're going to do what's right, you're going to follow what the Lord has said. And in Proverbs chapter number 3, some very familiar passages of scripture, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So that word trust gives the idea, believe in him. Believe in who? Believe in what you think? No. Believe in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. With what? All thine heart. That does not mean that we have certain areas of our lives that we have in our hearts that we do not want to give over to God. If we trust in him, if we believe in him with all of our heart, meaning that every area is open and every area is free to God, and we are trusting in the Lord, not with just our money, or not just with our soul, not just with our friends, not just with, there's not portions here. Instead, we have opened up and said, God, I know who you are, I see who you are, and I am opening my heart and I am delighting in the directions that you give in my marriage, the directions you give in my faithfulness and in my service, the directions you give in my finances, the direction that you give in every area of my life. I am trusting in you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then it goes, lean not unto thine own understandings. It means that when the Bible tells us something and gives us instruction, we don't interpret it for ourselves. Instead, we listen to what it says. We go back a few weeks to Saul. Saul was king and was told to kill the Amalekites. And Saul went and did 95% of the work God had told him to do. And he had registered in his mind and said, okay, God, I have done what you've asked me to do. He even bragged about it to the prophet. God's response was, you have turned your back from serving me. You have not followed the voice of the Lord. What Saul had done, he had listened to the prophet and what the prophet had said, and he said, okay, let's go do this. Let's listen to the Lord, the word of the Lord. But as he's going, he listens to other people, and he fears what other people says, so he begins to lean to his own understandings. He hears what God says, and instead of listening to exactly what God says and what God understands, wants us to understand, he begins to lean to what he thinks it is. And this is a dangerous thing, because many times people start saying, well, that's your interpretation. And there's a lot of preferences out there where people will say, well, that's how you feel, but this is how I see it. But we cannot be a private interpreter of the Bible. We should listen to what the Word of God says, and it says that we should trust in him with all our heart, and we shouldn't be leaning to how we feel about something, but our establish in our life and our guidelines should be placed directly on the Word of God and directly on what God's Word says. We shouldn't try to add to it, and there are some people that do that. They think, well, you know what? This would be a good rule to have, and this would be a good standard to have, and this is how it would work out. And they say, this is what we should do. That's what they did with the Pharisees back there. They added to the law and to the things that they thought made sense. They were leaning to their own understanding. You should be very careful not to be someone who adds to the scriptures and say, this is what you should do because this is how I feel. That's dangerous. It's even more dangerous to say, well, God said that, but I don't think it's true, and take away from the scriptures and live a more looser life, or live a life that isn't really appealing or doing what they think is right because they think that God's word didn't really mean what it said. So don't add to it. Don't take away. Don't lean to your own understanding. The Bible says, in all thy ways, it says, trust with the Lord of all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understandings. And then it goes again, in all thy ways. It's the reference there. All thy ways, acknowledge him. And look at that next phrase. And he shall direct thy paths. We need God's leadership. I mean, we look at different things. And there's a long list of things I thought about the afternoon service because of a shorter service thought. I mean, okay, what are some of the things that people look at and they don't really enjoy doing? And there's a long list of things. A lot of believers say, I don't really like this. You know what? They're missing the whole point. God wants us to delight in his things. He wants us to delight in his laws. And you say, how do you do that? You delight in the Lord. When you begin to learn of him and delight in him and rejoice in him, he says, when I rejoice in him, then I'm actually going to enjoy keeping his commandments. So that's what the Bible says David got to. You got to see that his laws are not grievous. They're instead there for our good, instead there to bring him glory and honor. And that's what he's saying. He says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Isn't that what we need? And the answer is yes. Why? Because his guidance is superior or preeminent to everyone else. You know, so let's think about that for a few minutes. The preeminence of God's guidelines. The preeminence of God being able to direct their paths. How comes he knows better than anyone else? He knows everything. I sometimes tell young people, make sure you're right with God when you're picking a mate, or when let God bring that mate in your life, because you don't know what that person's going to be like 10 years from now. You say, no, you're not going to know if that person is going to end up being an alcoholic, or if that person is going to end up committing adultery, or this or that. You say, well, Pastor, nobody does that. That's taking a chance. No. There is someone that knows what you're going to be like in 10 years. It's God. Why is that? Because he's preeminent in his guidance. He's the one that says, hey, look, you need to do this, because he knows our hearts. He's the one that gives us the Lord's Supper, because he knows, do this in remembrance of me. Why? Because he knows we're going to forget. He knows what we need and exactly what we need. And he's put it in that book. And he's saying, now, I want you to delight in that, because I know, because I see the end from the beginning. I see what's going to happen in your life. I know exactly what you need and what's going to be brought into your life. And I made you a certain way for a certain reason and a certain purpose. Now delight in the things I've given you. Now do the things I've asked you to do, because it's what's best for you, and I know what's best for you. How many of us used to hate when our parents says, do what I told you because it's what's best? And we're like, especially if you didn't trust your parents, you're like, what do you mean it's best? This is what I want to do. This is what I think is right. But that's why God gave us authority in our lives, and God gave us parents to help lead us and direct us. He says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Do we need God to direct our paths? We sure do. Then look at verse number 7 also. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Once again, it goes back to that feelings that are found, you know, with thine own heart. Lean not on the understanding. Don't try to make it make sense in your own eyes. Instead, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. And we talked about that last week. Don't that respect and that honor we have of God, we do not want to disappoint him, we do not want to fail him, we do not want to hurt the heart of God. And then it says, depart from evil. Leave it. Get away from it. So, and I began thinking this week about the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and I thought about some good men in the Bible whose steps were ordered by the God that we would have never guessed. If we thought that Joseph was going to need to be king, or second in charge of Pharaoh, second in charge of Egypt, 30 years later, most of us would not have thrown him in a pit, sold him to Potiphar's house, ended up in prison, and then been there ready to serve as second in charge of Egypt. Why is that? I mean, who would have known? Nobody knows. It's God, because he's preeminent in it. He is far better at telling us how we should live our lives than we can figure out ourselves. And he says it twice. Don't lean into your own understandings. And then he says in verse number 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. But so many times we think we have it figured out and we don't understand. But think about Joseph. If Joseph in his story would not have delighted in God, you said, where do you get that from? Well, you see him always believing that God was there. And if he was in the pit, God helped him. And Potiphar's house, God helped him. Remember when Potiphar's wife came to him, he says, I can't do that against my God. He cared. He delighted in what God thought. He remembered that God's presence was there. He wasn't like, oh boy, I wish I could indulge myself with this woman. No, he was saying, no, I can't do this. I don't want to hurt the heart of God. I fear the Lord. I'm departing from this wickedness. I'm departing. It might not make sense in my own eyes. It might not make sense in the other people's eyes. But who would have picked that path? Nobody would have. You think about Moses being born to that godly family, and then being taken in by Pharaoh's daughter, and then taken and put out on the backside of the desert for 40 years. God, we wouldn't have chosen it that way. but it's something that God knew what was needed and knew what was best. And why can't we learn to trust him with our lives, like Joseph trusted him, and like David trusted him as he was going through the wilderness and fleeing from Saul, was anointed king. If I was anointed king at like 12, 13, 14, however old he was, I would be thinking pretty highly of myself. But where did he go back out and do? He went back out to the sheep farm and nobody else wanted to do that job. He went and played the harp for Saul. If it was me and thinking, I'm going to be the future king, I ain't going to go play the harp for him. I'm going to start my kingdom. No. What does he do? It's the steps of a good man. They're ordered by the Lord. We don't always understand them. We don't always grab a hold of it. But the Bible says that we should delight in those. And when we learn to delight in those, God delights in us. I think about the story that's found in the book of Acts. Paul, being called out as a missionary, he desired to go to one area. You know what God told him? No. Was he desiring to do something wrong? Did he want to go rob a bank? Did he want to go do something evil? He wanted to go win people to Christ. God said no. Then he purposed in his heart to go a different way. God said no. And then God showed him a vision about where he wanted to go, and he ended up in Philippi because there was a lady there that needed Christ and that was seeking God. So, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm getting at sometimes people get so focused on doing what they consider good things, it doesn't mean that they're doing what God wants them to do. Paul was like, this is where I'm going to go. And he asked God, and God said, no. Well, I'm going to go this way instead. God says, no. He says, I want you to go this way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He said, Pastor, why was it wrong for him to go that way? It's because that's not what God wanted for his life. And I know sometimes people come up and say, well, why is it wrong? It's not saying it's wrong, but it's not what God wants for you. I remember the story of Amy Carmichael, who was a missionary lady, and I remember my wife telling the story and hearing the story as a child. She always wanted blue eyes. She always wanted blue eyes. And she even prayed to God and asked God, change my eyes to blue. And then as she became out in the mission field, she began to realize why God gave her brown eyes. Many times she would do stuff to cause her skin to be a little darker so she would fit in to be able to do the mission work that God had given her to do. And if she had had blue eyes, all the foreigners would know that she was not part of that land, was not part of that area, was not part of those people. But instead, she disguised herself to help some girls and help some other people that did other things. And you know what? In the end, she said, I know why God gave me brown eyes. I never trade them in now. So I'm trying to get you to understand that he is preeminence and his guidance. Sometimes we like to switch the way we look, or the family he's given us, or the church family he's given us, or the talents he's given us. But the steps of a good man, they're ordered by the Lord, and he is ordering your steps, and he has a plan, and he has a purpose for your life. Don't throw that away by doing what you want, or leaning to your own understanding, or doing what's right in your own eyes. Trust him, because his guidance is preeminent. His plans, his directions are preeminent. Second thing, this is probably my favorite part of it, is the promises of God's directions. The promise of God's directions. I love the fact that it says at the end of verse number 6, he shall direct thy paths. He's saying he's willing to do it. He says it right up there. He says, and he shall direct thy paths. He tells you that if you're willing to trust in him with all thine heart, if you're willing not to lean into thy understanding, and if all thy ways you acknowledge him, he says, then I will tell you what your direction is. Because I tell you, the people that were blessed, like the Josephs and the Davids and the Daniels and the Pauls in the Bible, is something that most of us would aspire to say, you know what? I want to be used by God like that. I want God to work in my life like that. Well, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And don't get me wrong, whatever God has planned for your life is the greatest thing that you can do. You don't have to aspire to be second in charge of Egypt. All we have to do is find God's will and do it. So how do you find God's will? You see it right there. You say, well, I don't understand it all. Well, think about what it says in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. If any of you lack wisdom, how many of us need wisdom? I know I do. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He says you can just ask him for it. Then it says that giveth to all men liberally, meaning that he'll give you abundantly more than what you even need, and upbraideth not, which means he's not going to make you feel dumb. You ever had somebody make you feel dumb for asking a question? Oh, I hate it when people do that to me. And I ask them a question, don't you already know that? Well, if I knew that, I wouldn't ask. Well, shouldn't you know that? Well, I'm asking. And that's what God's saying. He is willing to give it to you liberally. He's not going to say, hey, stupid, here. No, he knows that when you come to him, you're asking him something because he's promised. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And those next four words, and it shall be given him. That's where faith comes in. That's where the trust comes in. We believe as we do our best to live by him, not leaning to our own understanding, not doing what's right in our own eyes, but instead to follow him. As we seek wisdom, he will give it to you. You pray about something, and then you follow however the Lord's leading. That is his direction is preeminence. But there's a promise that's attached there. He says, and it shall be given him. He has told you that it's given him. And continues on in verse number 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Don't go be asking that God. He's saying, don't be asking me something and don't expect me to answer. Don't ask and think that I'm not going to give you the answer. He says, I let him ask in faith. So when we seek God's will and God's direction, the Bible saying there is we should have to assume and by faith that God's going to answer and follow his leadership. Then he says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So don't let that guy be confused just because he comes up and asks me, but doesn't believe that he's going to give me an answer. So, and this is what so many of us do. We come, and I've done it. I've been guilty myself. We come to God and say, God, please help me with this. Give me direction. And then we get up and walk away and figure it out for ourselves. We get up and walk away and do what's right in our own eyes, and we lean to our own understanding without giving God a chance to answer and without giving God a chance to speak, because we've never left all our own ways and our own desires. There's a promise there. He says, it shall be given him. There's a promise there. He shall direct thy paths. He has the best advice. He has the best guidelines. And he promises you that he will give it to you. He won't make you feel stupid about it. He wants you to give it to him. Third thing here. Not only is the preeminence of God's direction, the promise of God's direction. Last but not least, the practice of following God's direction. So here's the thing. Here's what really makes it the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Here is, he shall direct thy paths. Here is, and it shall be given him. We have to believe. We have to believe what the Bible says. We have to take what God says for truth. When he says he'll direct thy paths, we got to believe he's going to do it. When he says, and it shall be given him, we got to believe he's done it. The Bible says many times in the book of Mark and Matthew, it talks about how God was not able to do mighty works because of their unbelief. It says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, and he did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. And this was where Jesus had grown up at. This was the place that if anyone's going to believe and anywhere is going to believe, he was not able to do many mighty works. There was people there that I'm sure that were sick that needed Christ. There was people there that needed his teaching there. But he was not able to do many of their mighty works because of their unbelief. And I think sometimes the reason why God doesn't direct our paths is because we don't believe. We don't trust. Do we believe that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord? Do we really truly believe that he's going to direct our paths if we will lean to? He says, let not that man think he's going to receive anything from God. Because many Christians, they don't receive the direction that they desire because they don't ask in faith. They don't believe. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 says, trust in the Lord. There's a trust that's there. I know it would be sacrilegious or blasphemous to say, well, I don't believe in God. And none of us would say that. But do we trust in him? Think about when Jesus was there and he was talking about the man whose daughter was dying and heard that she had just passed away. And the man was discouraged. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. To the man who brought his child to Jesus' disciples, and Jesus' disciples could not cast out the demon. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. He says, look, you can have anything that God desires for your life if you will only believe. Mark 9:24, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I think that should be our prayers. I think many of us should say, God, I need you to direct my steps, and I want to believe. Help me in the areas that I struggle with. Help me in the areas that I don't lean unto you of all my understanding, that I don't lean unto you, that I lean unto me. Help me in the areas of my life that I've made things right in my own eyes. Help those areas, because I believe the steps of a good man or a good woman are ordered by the Lord. God has a path and a plan for all of us. And he says, and he delighteth in his way. God can actually delight in the way of an individual. Why is that? Because God has given them that path. Like it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. God delights in giving us the things that we desire when we desire the right things. He says, I will direct your path. I will give you the wisdom you ask for. You have to believe. The question is, do we truly believe? That's it. Why are we falling short? Is it because God's not owning up to his promises? Now, that would be sacrilegious. That would be blasphemous. Of course he does. So who's missing out on the wisdom? Why are we missing out on the wisdom? Let him ask in faith. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Are we allowing God to order our steps? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Am I allowing God to trust with all mine heart today? His wisdom, his guidance, his plan, his steps, it's preeminent. There is no one else that can give you better directions for your life than God. And once again, there's safety in the multitude of counselors. There's nothing wrong with a good counselor, especially someone that's walking with the Lord that can give you instruction. God can speak through them to you. But there is nothing more than what us being willing and ready and having a heart to be blessed by God. But also to bless the heart of God. He finds pleasure in that. In the fact that you're following his ways. I mean, how many of us have had children that you gave instruction to, and then you see them doing what you asked them to do and them doing it the way you asked them to do it? Do you take pleasure in that? You sure do. They listen. They're doing it the right way. They're doing it the way I asked them to do. You take pleasure in that. And that's what the Bible's saying here is, he delighteth in his ways. God delights when you take pleasure in the ways he's given you. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He says we can delight in him, but he says he can delight in us. And if you want to think that the word is the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delights in his way, that works even better for the message. We should delight in the ways of God. It's something we should take pleasure in. And the commandments of God. You go to Psalms 119, there's at least 10 different times when David talks about the word delight or taking pleasure in the commandments of God. So is there an area of your life that, number one, that you're not really leaning to God, you're leaning on your own understanding? Number two, is there an area in your life that you are making sense of it by making it right in your own eyes? You need to depart from evil. You need to depart from the wrong way. But the next thing is, there's another step there. Do you delight in it? I hear people say, I'm gonna obey my parents because I have to, but I'm not gonna like it. You're missing the whole point. I had a man one time tell me. He told me this, and it's nobody here at church. But I was surprised when he says, I'm going to give God his 10%, but I'm not giving another a dime more to that church, because they thought that the church had used it for different things, and it wasn't our church. And I thought, wow, if God asked you to do something, you wouldn't do it? I didn't say that because it was somebody who was older and kind of an authority in my life. But the Lord spoke to my heart. He says, God loveth a cheerful giver. And here's the point is, and this is what I'm trying to get for us for this year, and what I'm trying to get to my own heart to be, is that I don't want to just be good because God's watching. I want to delight in the fact that God's watching. I don't want to just follow his commandments because it's what's best for me, because that's obvious God is preeminent in his direction giving. I want to learn to actually delight in the ways of God so I can rejoice in his ways instead of saying, I'll do it if I have to, but I don't want to. Man, this is God. This is one that saved our souls. This is the one that given us a way to heaven. This is the one that deserves all honor, and all glory, and all praise. He said, but you don't know my husband. I don't, but God does. You don't know my wife. Yeah, I know. You don't know my parents. You don't know my brother. You don't know my sister. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, because the person is really bad and really annoying, you can change the way you treat them. It tells you to live peacefully as much as possible. I don't know what the exact words, and we're going to look at it a little bit this afternoon. Live peacefully with all men. It means sometimes you're not going to be able to live peacefully, but doesn't give you the right and doesn't give you an opportunity to treat them unlike the way that God wants to treat them, because God can use you to change that person's life. Last but not least, God gave us specific directions and guidelines when it came to becoming a Christian. A lot of people have leaned to their own understanding. They come up with this thought, you know what? I'm not as bad as somebody else is. I've done a lot of good things. God's going to let me into heaven. You're leaning to your own understandings. It ain't going to work. They have justified it in their own eyes by saying, because I've done this, this, and this, I'm on my way to heaven. The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible says that we need to put our faith and trust in. The Bible talks about repenting and turning to God. The Bible talks and gives directions for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They confess with their mouth and believe in their heart. The Bible has clear instructions and directions about those who will be going to heaven and those who will not be going to heaven. They make that choice here on this earth. You can know, and you can know today. You can put your faith and trust in him. We're all sinners. We're all lost. The Bible's clear about that. We all need a Savior. Jesus became that Savior for us. He paid our sin debt. And if we place our faith and trust in him and we turn to God and believe in him and him alone, we can be saved. Have you ever done that? Don't justify in your own eyes. Don't lean to your own understanding. Don't listen to that guy on TV or that friend across. Listen to what the Bible says. We'd love to take a Bible and show you what the Bible says about how you can be a Christian and on your way to heaven. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That first step is by putting your faith and trust in him. That first step on the journey is believing. God's not willing any should perish, that all should come to repentance. He desires that. Have you ever done that? I'm not saying you know about God. I'm not saying you've been a church member for years. I'm not saying this or that. I'm saying, do you know God personally? Have you put your faith and trust in him? Because that first step begins with salvation. Have you ever done that? This morning, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Let us not only just say, I gotta follow God's commandments because I have to do it. Let us ask God to change our desires to be, I delight in following the things of the one who loves me and the one I love. I delight to do what he's asked me to do. I delight in singing. I delight in witnessing. I delight in loving. I delight in forgiving. I delight. Say, Pastor, I can't delight in those things. The fruits of the Spirit are what? It starts off with which one's the first one? Love, right? We can. What's the next one? Joy. What's the next one? Love, joy, peace, those things that we feel like we can't have. He says, you already have them if you'll just follow me. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you. He's the fruit of the Spirit. The love, joy, peace, long-suffering. He can work those things out in your life as we lean on our own understandings and we let God direct us and lead us. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Delight in God's guidance, God's teachings, God's plans. Because his guidance is preeminent. There's a promise that's attached to it, but let's practice it by believing. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.